It's time to eat.
What are you hungry for?
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Joe Dolan.
Feed me now! I'm starving!
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby! It is the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast, presented, of course, by DraftKings. I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, 5 teams, 7 years. And you know this, man, at Ross Tucker NFL on social media. We are at Ross Tucker Pod. Love those of you that subscribe and watch us on YouTube, youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL. Also love those of you that have subscribed and sent me in your screenshots of subscribing to win one of these Madden codes I'm going to give away at some point today. If you haven't yet done that or know what I'm talking about, go to at Ross Tucker NFL. Take a screenshot of you subscribing to youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL and reply, and you'll automatically be entered. Going to pick that person later on today. Could be you. Star of this show, it's Joe Dolan, at FG_Dolan. He's the fantasy gangster from fantasypoints.com. You need to go there and use the code 22Feast. I mean, at this point, you can still do it. I don't know where you've been. If you're a new listener, that's wonderful. If you think like you got a chance to win the league and you're trying to go over the top now, that's great. I'm surprised you've gotten this far without being a subscriber to fantasypoints.com. But just go there. Use the code 22Feast. We start the Saturday games, Joe. But we'll start, you and I, with Thursday Nighter. It's an interesting one because it's tomorrow night. Niners-Seahawks. A lot of question marks. We know Debo won't be there, so what does that mean? I guess Purdy's kind of a question mark. What does that mean? Kenneth Walker? A lot of questions, Joe.
There are a ton of questions about this game. The good news is Kenneth Walker's returned to a limited practice, and that's a good sign. And so here's the thing about the Seahawks. Unlike somebody like Amari Cooper, who we'll talk about later, they have incentive to play Kenneth Walker. They're battling for their playoff lives. So let's keep an eye on Kenneth Walker. The problem is the 49ers give up the fewest fantasy points per game this season to running backs. Their defense has been exceptional. They did give up a bunch of catches to the Buccaneers running backs last week. And unfortunately, that's not really a huge part of Kenneth Walker's game. But as we saw with Kenneth Walker missing last week, Travis Homer, Tony Jones, that was just fantasy irrelevance. You know, I said on Twitter that I preferred Homer, and that was right, except he scored like 4 points. You know, like if you're going to be playing somebody in this backfield, it's got to be Kenneth Walker if he gets back. We'll see about DJ Dallas as well. But other than that, the Seahawks are pretty cut and dry. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Geno Smith, all on the board. Of course, though, this is not a great matchup for the Seattle Seahawks. They are home underdogs, despite the 3.5-point underdogs, 43.5 the total, despite the uncertainty about Brock Purdy, which tells you what people think about this 49er defense.
What about the 49er offense?
So, obviously, Debo's out. Kyle Shanahan said it yesterday. He said 3-ish weeks for Debo. So let's do some advanced calculus here, Ross. 15, 16, 17. All right. 18. So 3 weeks from week 15 is week 18. If he misses 3 weeks, not including week 18, that takes us through week 17. Most fantasy leagues end in week 17. So if you really need a roster spot, like really need one, I think you can drop Debo Samuel. The 49ers don't care about your fantasy team. The good news is guys like Christian McCaffrey are helping your fantasy team. Brandon Ayuk, maybe George Kittle will pick up the slack in the absence of Debo Samuel. But the 49ers care about the Lombardi Trophy. They're not going to rush Debo Samuel back before he's ready because they are in a really good spot to make the playoffs. They have one thing on their mind, that's the Super Bowl. And they're not going to rush Debo Samuel back to help your fantasy team.
No, they're not. What about the game I'm calling, Joe? One of two this weekend, actually. It's the Colts at the Vikings. What do I need to know for my prep for the game and for fantasy football?
So Minnesota has surrendered 300 passing yards to a quarterback in four of their last five games. The only one that didn't do it was Dak Prescott, who threw for, I think, 278, 280, somewhere around there. And you know what happened in that game? The Cowboys could take their foot off the gas pedal because they annihilated the Vikings. So Matt Ryan's still the quarterback for the Colts. This is an immovable offense going an immovable offense going up against a defense that can't stop anybody. I just woke up.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's a defense.
That we can't all stop know what any, you mean.
Defense can't stop anybody going up against an offense that can't score. Minnesota just says, I believe, has given up over 400 yards of offense in four straight games. Look, if Michael Pittman is ever going to do it, this has got to be the week. I mean, I would be not excited to start him, but if I have him on my bench this week, why is he even on my roster is what I'm asking. Maybe Matt Ryan's a stream-worthy quarterback. Maybe not, because all 32 teams play this week. But it's really Indianapolis. If they can't score this week, they're not going to score the rest of the season. They're going with Matt Ryan. The thing I would worry about if I was streaming Matt Ryan at quarterback this week would be the fact that if he doesn't play well, they could go to Nick Foles. They could bench him in-game for Nick Foles. And that would be the one thing I would be concerned about, because Minnesota's defense is not one that should pose any problems for an NFL offense. Whether or not this is an NFL offense, well, that's up to you. But this is not one that should scare anybody away from playing your Colts skill position players, even down to somebody like Paris Campbell, who could be, or Alec Pierce, somebody who could be popular on the Saturday DFS slate.
What about the Vikings?
Well, the Minnesota Vikings, the one thing about them, we do say they're kind of the same team every week. But the problem here now that we have to point out, even with Kirk Cousins playing well, Justin Jefferson going absolutely ham last week, is they can't run the ball. Dalvin Cook had 23 yards on 15 carries in that game, and he has really struggled to get going on the ground. Now, here's the thing about Dalvin Cook. He's kind of hard to sit. I mean, look at some of the injuries people we have at running back this week. We just talked about Kenneth Walker, Saquon Barkley, Ramondre Stevenson, all these question marks at the position. It's not like you can sit Dalvin Cook, but this is somebody who's averaged under 2 yards per carry in two of his last three games. Their offensive line is struggling. They really do need Christian Darrisaw back from that concussion. It looks like he will be back this week. One matchup to watch in this game: Stephon Gilmore could well shadow Justin Jefferson, but he doesn't go inside. Justin Jefferson gained over 100 yards receiving, more than half of his receiving yards, out of the slot last week against Detroit.
4:30 on Saturday, it's the Ravens at the Browns. Another one where we're not exactly sure who the quarterback will be.
Yeah, and we don't know who it'll be for Baltimore. And J.K. Dobbins came back last week and really showed well in the stat sheet. But he had that long run to actually set up his touchdown run.
He didn't look right. He didn't look good.
There was a hitch in his giddy up. And look, I'm rooting for J.K. Dobbins. He's coming off of what was a severe knee injury. This is a word of warning, though, just for next year, something to file away. Our guy, Dr. Edwin Porras at fantasypoints.com, believes, just based on the information available to us, which is not all the information, that Javonte Williams' knee injury is similar to the one that J.K. Dobbins suffered. So file that away for next year. But no, J.K. Dobbins did not look right. There was a limp. There was a hitch. That being said, the Cleveland Browns' run defense has been a sieve all season long, and J.K. Dobbins still ran for 120 yards last week. Just because he had a hitch in his giddy up doesn't make those yards not count. Gus Edwards ran for 66 yards on 13 carries last week. That Brown run defense has been exploitable all season long. The last time, I lost my train of thought here, but the Browns, look, if Anthony Brown starts at quarterback, they're going to lean on the ground game. Mark Andrews caught two passes in that game. Really, the only guys I feel like super comfortable playing, not that, look, you got to play Mark Andrews, Ross, I don't know who else you have. Maybe you picked up Dallas Goedert off the waiver wire. There are some situations, but man, if Anthony Brown starts at quarterback for the Browns, they're going to run for the Ravens rather. They're going to run the ball, and J.K. Dobbins, whether he looked good or not, is going to get the touches.
The Browns didn't run the ball very well at all last week.
No, Nick Chubb, 13 carries for 34 yards. And here is the bad news. Once considered like the strength of this team, Ross, you write up the offensive lines for fantasypoints.com and rank them. You know, the Browns were pretty high on your list last year.
Yep.
Ethan Postich is on IR. Jedrick Wills, Jack Conklin have struggled. Wyatt Teller, since coming back from injury, has struggled. Once considered the strength of this team, per fantasy points data, Cleveland is opening less than 1 yard before contact for running backs, which is not good. And by the way, the Baltimore Ravens are giving up the second fewest yards before contact behind only the Bills over the last 5 weeks. So this is a really bad ground game matchup for Cleveland. And the problem here is Nick Chubb kind of needs to be the engine because Deshaun Watson isn't playing well. He played a little bit better than he did in his debut, but Amari Cooper is banged up. Amari Cooper said he's fighting through a core muscle injury. And he's like, well, you know, you want to be out there for your team and blah, 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 blah. But he caught just two passes for 42 yards last week, despite a full snap share. Cleveland's 5-8. Their playoff hopes are virtually out the window. So the question now becomes, do they shut down Amari Cooper? The good news for Cleveland is Donovan Peoples-Jones is emerging, and David Njoku is a must start at the tight end position. He returned to the lineup after missing week 13 with a knee injury, played a full snap share, caught Deshaun Watson's first touchdown pass as a Brown. He essentially walked it in. It wasn't like a big-time throw or anything like that. It was a well-designed play. He had 7 catches on 9 targets. Njoku is a must start at the tight end position.
Let's talk Dolphins-Bills Saturday night. Dolphins have been looking like dog doo-doo the last couple of games.
Tua was atrocious on Sunday night. Like it was like Brandon Staley, you know, Tua's been really an effective point guard right now, and Brandon Staley took away all of his passing lanes, and that's what he did, and he did an amazing job of it. And the concern, I think, Dolphins fans and people who have Tua, maybe Tyreek Hill for fantasy, the concern is the weather. Is it going to snow? Always a possibility in Buffalo in December. So keep an eye on the weather because that will severely impact, well, really both of these offenses, but especially Miami. There was reports that they had heaters on their sideline in San Francisco. It was like 50 degrees at kickoff. What the heck's gonna what's gonna be the situation in Buffalo? They're gonna open a portal to the gates of hell on the sidelines to try to keep warm. Not a great vibe for the Miami Dolphins there with the way Tua played last week. Of course, you also have to watch the injury status of Tyreek Hill. I think he's going to be okay. He plays through everything. Jalen Waddle did not have a good game. That was because Tua did not have a good game. Jeff Wilson is injured. So will this be a Raheem Mostert game for Miami? The bad news, of course, Buffalo run defense has been exceptional, giving up the fewest yards before contact per rush attempt over the last 5 weeks. So all in all, when it comes to the weather, it comes to the matchup, not a great draw for the Miami Dolphins here.
The Bills signed Cole Beasley. Joe, what does that tell you?
Well, it tells me exactly what Greg Cosell has told you in recent weeks on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. And I think it's now becoming – Greg's always ahead of the curve. It's now becoming kind of the purveying opinion on the Buffalo Bills. They're considered a great offense because of Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, but really, it's a bunch of guys after that. Like I liked Gabe Davis for fantasy, and I'm not backing off of that train. I liked him, and he's been just kind of a run of the mill, like okay fantasy asset. But I liked him because he was in this offense. But eventually, you do need really good players, and Buffalo has struggled to find really good players. I mean, Dawson Knox is a solid player. Gabe Davis is a solid player. Isaiah McKenzie's a solid player. But Devin Singletary's a solid player. But they only have one star for Josh Allen, and that's Stephon Diggs. So I would think maybe Xavien Howard is going to try to shadow Stephon Diggs in this game. And by the way, he did that last year. Diggs got him pretty good, by the way. Last season, Xavien Howard shadowed Stephon Diggs when these two teams met on over 85% of his routes. And Diggs put up 7 catches for 86 yards and 2 touchdowns in Xavien Howard's coverage. Earlier this year, Howard aligned over Diggs on just 57% of his routes, and Diggs caught 3 passes on him. But I would be interested to see if Miami changes their philosophy, knowing that he's really the guy that you've got to slow down. And the disappointing thing for Buffalo, to me, is just when it looks like James Cook is going to get involved, then he does absolutely nothing against the Jets, 4 carries for 6 yards. So it's really a hard situation to trust this Buffalo offense. I mean, Josh Allen can't do it all himself, and I think that's why they signed Cole Beasley. I think they probably wanted to sign Odell Beckham. Maybe they got bad news on his medicals. That was kind of the talk, is that the Cowboys didn't like his medicals either, and they were counting on some outside help. That's why they signed Cole Beasley.
Speaking of outside help, Joe, AG1. A lot of people don't know what to do to stay healthy this time of year, especially. I started taking Athletic Greens because I didn't want to be taking a multivitamin every morning. Plus, I knew I wasn't getting enough veggies, and I knew that I would rather have something I can just absorb like this every morning as opposed to a pill that has 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens. So listen, it's lifestyle friendly. So whatever you are, paleo, vegan, keto, whatever, costs less than $3 a day. And a lot of people say it really helps with their gut health. So that's something to keep in mind as well. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/feast. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/feast to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Joe, we move on to the Falcons and the Saints. The Falcons have Desmond Ridder in the lineup. Does that do anything for you?
No. The Falcons have maybe the least talented offense in the NFL. I mean, Mariota wasn't doing anything for me either. And, you know, with 16 teams out there, I'm not really sure. Like, Drake London had 12 targets his last time out, but that was with Mariota. That was a 50% target share, which is massive. It doesn't really do anything for me. The running back situation is a complete rotation. Cordarrelle Patterson, Tyler Allgeier, and Caleb Huntley all play. Patterson wasn't targeted in their last game against Pittsburgh. So if Patterson's not getting targeted, I mean, he's a touchdown-dependent flex. I'm excited to see Desmond Ridder as a fan of football. I want to see what happens here. But against this defense, it doesn't do anything for me, quite frankly, Ross. This is as close to being a fantasy cross-off team as there is, and there are a few of them this week.
What about the Saints?
Well, they're going with Andy Dalton, and you and I discussed last week that I actually thought Andy Dalton played pretty freaking well on Monday Night Football in that collapse against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And so Chris Olave, though I think Olave could get shadowed by A.J. Terrell in this game, and Terrell is playing phenomenal football, by the way. Since week 10, the only primary outside corner who has allowed fewer fantasy points per coverage snap than A.J. Terrell is James Bradbury. So Terrell is playing at a super high level. So you might want to downgrade Chris Olave on your personal depth chart this week. Here's the thing about the Saints, though. Why can they not get the ball in the hands of Alvin Kamara? It is bizarre. Mark Ingram's going to go on IR, but is Alvin Kamara going to pick up the slack? I can't say that he is. I mean, based on his recent track record, he had 14 touches against the Buccaneers, but gained just 37 yards from scrimmage. So Alvin Kamara, coming off of a couple of really down games, they need him to step up. They still have a very, 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 very outside shot at winning this division. The Buccaneers hold the tiebreaker over them, which is going to make it difficult. But the Saints have to find a way with Ingram out to get the ball in the hands of Alvin Kamara this week.
The next game I'm curious about, Joe, is the Steelers and the Panthers. I guess the Steelers quarterback's up in the air too.
Well, Kenny Pickett's got a concussion, so we have to watch that. And like, here's the funny part about Pittsburgh. You know, you look at the numbers for Mitchell Trubisky, 22 of 30 for 276 and a touchdown. Hey, Mitch. Yeah, except it comes with three of the worst interceptions you're going to see all year. Two deep in Ravens territory. The other, he throws up an arm punt on first and 10. I don't mind arm punts on third and 10, Ross. First and 10, they're a problem. So he throws three bad interceptions, and really, despite the fact that he gave them a spark after Pickett went out, ended up costing them the game with some bad mistakes. You know, Deontay Johnson got eight targets. George Pickens caught the ball down the field. They just don't throw the ball to George Pickens enough. They really do not. I mean, the guy, every time they throw him the ball, it seems like he makes a play. So George Pickens down, these guys are wide receiver threes to me. Whether Trubisky or Pickett plays the quarterback, Pat Freiermuth is certainly a viable tight end one. And you kind of got to play Najee Harris at this point because he's a borderline bell cow in terms of usage. It's just not a very good offense. And they're going to make some changes in the offseason, but it's not a very good offense going up against a Carolina defense that really is playing well. I expect Brian Burns and company are going to get after whoever the quarterback is here for Pittsburgh.
What about Carolina on offense? They ran the crap out of the ball last week.
Yeah, and it came at the expense of DJ Moore, who didn't catch a pass. So DJ Moore goes over 100 yards. Oh, Sam Darnold's his savior. He puts up great numbers with Sam Darnold, and he doesn't catch a pass. Now, Tariq Woolen, the young corner for Seattle, is playing exceptional football, but DJ Moore doesn't catch a pass in that game. Are you kidding me? Wide receiver three kind of guy for me. Deontay Foreman, touchdown dependent RB2. Chuba Hubbard is a flex option. They rotated him in. I would expect Carolina's going to keep doing that. You know, Steve Wilks, defensive-minded interim head coach, he wants to run the ball. He doesn't want Sam Darnold making mistakes. So I think Deontay Foreman is an RB2. I think Chuba Hubbard is a flex, although I'm not enthusiastic about that. I know what kind of situations people are in at the running back spot this week. And the other guy you can play here is DJ Moore. And you hope DJ Moore doesn't get goose-egged again.
Eagles, Bears. I don't even know what to say about the Eagles anymore, Joe. They're so good, and they have so many good players. It's like, and now they might get Dallas Goedert back. But somehow they all still seem to have good fantasy days.
Yeah, every now and again, one of these guys is going to quote-unquote flop. You know, Miles Sanders did it against Tennessee, Tennessee's run defense. But here's the problem for the Bears. According to our offensive line, defensive line matchup metrics at fantasypoints.com, the Eagles have a top five run game and pass game metric. And what the Eagles have shown is this. Oh, you got a good pass defense? Well, we'll kick your ass running the football. They did that against Green Bay. Oh, you got a good run defense? Well, we'll kick your ass throwing the football. They did that against Tennessee. You got neither? We'll kick your ass doing both. They just did that to the Giants. So they can win in literally every way. They can win throwing the ball down the field. They can win with the screen game. They can win on the ground. They can win through the air. Jalen Hurts is the MVP favorite right now. Nothing about this matchup suggests we should expect anything less. The one thing I will say is not that you're sitting A.J. Brown. You can't sit A.J. Brown. Maybe you bump up Devontae Smith on your personal depth chart because Devontae Smith doesn't have the potential shadow situation. I don't think they will shadow A.J. Brown with Jalen Johnson, but if they do, Devontae Smith might get a little bit of a bump. But if Dallas Goedert's back, by the way, you have to play him. Like, this is just an outstanding matchup for the Eagles. The Bears, they are getting healthier in the secondary. To me, it doesn't matter. The Eagles beat everybody in they beat everybody decisively, and they beat them in multiple ways.
Let's talk Bears offensively, Joe.
So the Bears are obviously going to try to run the football because, first and foremost, they're not throwing the ball well. And this Eagle defense is not one you throw the ball against. And they got Avante Maddox back. The one thing about the Eagles that is noteworthy, we know C.J. Gardner-Johnson's on IR. Reed Blankenship, that young safety, their backup, who's been playing really well, he picked up a minor knee injury and might not be able to play this week. So they signed veteran Anthony Harris because their third string safety, Kayvon Wallace, looked unplayable. So maybe the Bears have a point of attack there, get the ball to Cole Kmet, who's essentially been their number one receiver. But the Bears don't have wide receivers. If they have any prayer in this game, it's going to be on the legs of Justin Fields, and the Eagles are going to know that. The Eagles, after that game against the Commanders, really shored up their run defense. They held Derrick Henry in check. They held Saquon Barkley in check. Outside of one drive, they held Jonathan Taylor in check. So Philadelphia has really cleaned things up on the ground. And I think they're going to try to say, hey, Justin Fields, if you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us with your arm, because he's been beating people with his legs. So I think it's a tough draw for Justin Fields, but he's been making long runs out of nothing week in and week out, and that does make him hard to sit for fantasy.
Chiefs are at the Texans.
Speaking about a team that's going to be able to run the ball. Now, here is the funny part about the Texans. The Texans haven't allowed a wide receiver, Ross, to score a touchdown on them since week 10. They haven't allowed a wide receiver to go over 100 yards on them since week 5. That was Marvin Jones. And here's a list of some of the receivers that the Texans have faced since week 5. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Devontae Adams, Terry McLaurin, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, CeeDee Lamb. They face that murderer's row of receivers, and not a single one of them has gone over 100 yards. So their secondary is playing pretty well. The problem is it hasn't mattered because the run game is getting gashed. The run defense is getting absolutely slaughtered. So to me, this looks like an Isaiah Pacheco and Jerick McKinnon game for the Chiefs. Of course, they also have Patrick Mahomes, who can do anything he wants against most defenses. But this is one matchup where I'm certainly upgrading the Chief running backs, Pacheco, and I am upgrading Jerick McKinnon in this matchup. The Chiefs are more than 2 touchdown favorites, and the Houston run defense is the clear weakness of this unit.
What about Houston offensively, Joe? Anybody?
So this is one of those fantasy cross-off teams that I was talking about. Damian Pierce is probably going to miss this game. Nico Collins and Brandon Cooks are hurt. Chris Moore did it last week. If you needed him, maybe he's somebody you can consider. There is one player that I should mention for fantasy purposes. Ross, can you guess who it is?
Well, Damian Pearson say he's not playing?
No, he's not. His name is Jeff Driscoll.
Oh, geez.
He has tight end eligibility on certain websites. And Jeff Driscoll just out Taysom Hill. He had 7 carries for 36 yards, 4 completions for 38 yards and a touchdown last week. I'd rather play that guy over any one of these Tyler Conklin-ass tight ends who has a shot to go for 2 for 20 for you any week. Now, Jeff Driscoll, they're playing at the goal line. Like, if Damian Pierce is in that game, they probably beat the Cowboys. Damian Pierce was not in that game, so they didn't beat the Cowboys. But they are going to continue this quarterback rotation with Davis Mills and Jeff Driscoll. Jeff Driscoll has tight end eligibility. That is a guy we are going to rank relatively high at that position this week because of that eligibility. I would expect that quarterback platoon to continue.
Cowboys are at the Jags, Joe, and two out of the last three games, Trevor Lawrence has looked amazing.
Trevor Lawrence has looked phenomenal, and I think this is one of the more interesting games of the entire slate because Jacksonville is live. Like, that is a team you don't want to play right now, but I kind of know what the Cowboys are going to do. The last time that Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard combined for fewer than 100 yards rushing was week four against the Commanders when Cooper Rush was still starting for the Cowboys. So even in the games that Elliott missed, Pollard ran for over 100 yards. So they are running on everybody. And the Jacksonville run defense, even despite blowing out the Titans, we saw a unicorn last week. Derrick Henry ran for 121 yards and a score in a blowout loss. That doesn't happen with Derrick Henry. We know how game script dependent he is. So Dallas, Ezekiel Elliott, and Tony Pollard must starts for me in this matchup against Jacksonville. But the big injury here, Ross, I want you to give your opinion here. Terrence Steele goes down for the Cowboys. He's out for the season with an ACL tear. And though he probably was one of the lesser heralded players on their offensive line heading into this season, reading Cowboys beat writers, reading between the lines, he might have been their best lineman this year. What's your take on that loss?
Really good player, really big loss. Really curious to see what they do. I know Peters filled in last week. They talked about Peters and Josh Ball.
Yeah.
I am curious whether they think they're better off having Tyron Smith at left tackle and Tyler Smith at right tackle. We're so curious to see how they end up going about it. But that's right. A big loss, especially in the run game.
You know, Tyron Smith could be back this week, but what's he going to look like coming off of a major injury? He's in his 30s. He hasn't played football in months. So, you know, that's going to be a really interesting spot. Nonetheless, I do expect Dallas will continue to run the football with alacrity in this game.
Jags?
One of the big concerns I have about Jacksonville, first and foremost, Dallas's secondary is very exploitable. They have a lot of injuries back there. I think in particular, this could be a Zay Jones game. Dallas is very exploitable on the perimeter. Zay Jones has had a lot of drops in recent weeks, but he also caught 8 passes and scored a touchdown against Tennessee last week. Evan Ingram had, I think, the third best fantasy game for any tight end this year. And the other two belong to Travis Kelce. So that goes to show you what kind of game he had last week. Trevor Lawrence is playing well, which puts everybody in this offense up. The problem I have with Jacksonville, why is Travis Etienne not catching the football? You know, coming into this year, you thought he was going to be the passing game back for Jacksonville. They traded James Robinson. Oh, my God, he's got the backfield to himself. He was completely shut down in a brutal matchup against the Titans last week, and Dallas is a better matchup than that. But they don't throw him the ball. He has just 6 targets over his last 4 games and has gone without a target in 2 of his last 3. Why? This guy should be a bell cow back. And I know Trevor Lawrence is playing really well, but Travis Etienne not getting the ball in the passing game has been a big bone of contention for me. And it's forced me to adjust my expectations for him, which were sky high at one point this season.
Last but not least, Joe, maybe the best 1 o'clock game. Lions and the Jets?
Yeah, and this is a game that had something that's very rare in the NFL these days. There was a point yesterday, I don't think it's there anymore, where there was a split favorite on this game. Some books were listing the Lions as a favorite, some books were listing the Jets as a favorite, some were listing them as a pick'em. I expected the public money to come in on the Detroit Lions. I think that's what happened. The Lions are a very hot team right now in the markets, and you know, after everybody was asking, why are they favored against the Vikings? And then they come out and, I mean, that game really wasn't even much of a question for much of this game. I want to check the injury reports. We're recording this on Wednesday before practices. I do want to check the injury reports because if DeAndre Swift is on the injury report in any capacity, then we have to downgrade him because he was on the injury report last week. Justin Rogers of the Detroit News, who covers that team, he sort of reported, kind of opined, but maybe a little bit of both. He said, I wonder if that ankle injury is back to acting up, and what do we see? Justin Jackson comes in, and he gets 5 touches, including a touchdown. So if DeAndre Swift is on the injury report, you have to downgrade him in this matchup. And it's a bad matchup anyway. You know, the Jets are a really, really difficult team to face. And Jared Goff, as good as he was last week against the Minnesota defense that can't defend anybody, the Jets can defend. You saw what they did to Josh Allen last week. Their secondary is really good. Amon-Ra St. Brown's got a very difficult matchup in the slot against Michael Carter. Not that you're sitting Amon-Ra St. Brown. I might look elsewhere away from Jared Goff in this matchup for the Detroit Lions.
I think Mike White will play. Yeah. They're expecting him to. If he doesn't, it's Zach Wilson, not Joe Flacco, Joe.
No, that... That severely changes my opinion of this game if Zach Wilson plays, because I would downgrade literally everybody for the New York Jets, like, into the bowels of hell if Zach Wilson plays in this game. But I do expect it to be Mike White, who does some good things. And I mean, you want to talk about a guy who's going to win over his teammates. Like, just like he comes back into the game after taking two shots to the rib, and then Robert Saleh just like casually drops in the postgame press conference. Oh yeah, he went to the hospital. He's fine though. You kidding me? What a tough SOB he is. The thing here that is really going to be the kind of the linchpin for fantasy is this run game matchup, though. The Lions have completely changed defensively. From weeks 1 through 8, Detroit surrendered 1.5 yards before contact per rush attempt to running backs, which was 9th most in the NFL. Since then, they've allowed just 0.88, which is 5th fewest in the NFL. They have been able to score all year, but their defensive improvement has been the catalyst for this winning streak that they're on. It is not a good matchup for Bam Knight. He certainly found his way into fantasy matchups with his level of play of late, and I understand it, but just keep in mind, this is not a good matchup. When just 6 weeks ago, this would have been considered a pristine matchup for Bam Knight. So obviously, the passing game, Garrett Wilson, he's not playable to me if Zach Wilson starts. I don't expect Zach Wilson will start in this game, though. But it is a bad matchup on the ground for Bam Knight.
Good matchup to go to myfrontpagestory.com. Get the greatest holiday gift ever for a loved one. Myfrontpagestory.com. That was a bunch of games, but we still have a few left for dessert, Joe. I'm stuffed. We're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, Business of Sports, and the College Draft. All available at Apple Podcasts, RossTucker.com, or wherever podcasts can be found.